34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusteth in him. Okay, let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for who you are, and we're thankful that we can, Lord, lay our cares, lay our trust and our hearts upon thee. And Lord, we're thankful for the people here, and Lord, in Newcastle, we seek your blessing on this church. We pray your power and your grace would abide within and strengthen them and help them, Lord. And Father, we do love you, Lord, and we do thank you for your goodness towards us. And Lord, we do pray that you continually work and help us to look onward and forward and see you do great things in our life as well around us. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated, please. You know, one thing I do appreciate your pastor is that Brother Charlie is, you know, he's what you see is what you get. Amen. There's no mucking around. It's not. And with people these days, it's not a very common thing, you know, particularly preachers and those that are in front of people. Often you get what you see is not what you get. Amen. So I quite appreciate Brother Charlie. Okay. Drop a piece of this. That's your announcement, not mine. Okay. Oh, taste and see. Oh, taste and see. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, please, as you're turning there. Oh, taste. And the psalmist here says the O of excitement. Okay, he's super excited. So he comes down and says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The question we want to ask is, have you tasted, have you seen that the Lord is good? Okay, and often when we get to the subject of taste, all right, and often we, as you would know, we eat with our eyes. Okay, and I remember when we have church luncheon and so forth, and my wife, see, I know what my wife makes, and I know what you have, and so forth, you know. And sometimes you look, something looks really good, and you think, I should have not taken so much of that, all right? But she made something which didn't look really great, but it tasted quite good. And it was something else which, I don't know who made it, but it looked good, but it didn't taste great, all right? So it was a lot of the thing that looked bad left over, because often we eat with our eyes. You know, what happens is we get saliva starts happening in our mouth. You know, we see something we like, and sometimes it's to do with our smell. We smell something, and then saliva starts producing, and what it does is the saliva helps to break down the food so that our little taste buds can taste it. Okay, and it's on our tongue. It's not the actual little lumps. It's on the side of the little lumps. And we have our abilities of some of the stuff I've read that says we can taste over 1,000 different tastes. Okay, and they say as well that if you would say sweet is times one, that salty will be times two, and that sour will be times 200, and bitter would be times 1,000. So when they do a little bit of the science, when they're cooking something, they know what times what, and they balance it all out, the sweetness and the salt and the sour, and a little bit of sour, not too much. Okay? The question I want to bring out is, what do you taste like? What do you taste like? I'm not going to be eating anybody today. Amen. Reminds me of a little boy that you guys met, the evangelist, Webbs, Barry Webb. And his wife was sharing how they were in Papua New Guinea, and a little dark boy, and she was teaching about being kind to your enemies, and she said, what do you do when you catch your enemy? And he jumped up with big eyes and said, we eat them. I'm watching you. We eat them. She was, no, we're kind to them. She was trying to teach them, when you have an enemy, you be kind. We don't eat them. All right. What do you taste like? If we'd be honest this evening or afternoon, we're a little bit like the French, like we say in French, aigre doux, which means sweet and sour. Amen. Sometimes we're sweet and sour, right? We don't know what we're going to get. You know, some people, you don't know if you're going to get the sweet or the sour. All right? And sometimes we can be like that, and we ought not to be like, because the Lord is not like that. All right, the Lord's not like that. And let's go on and see as well concerning, or let's just read that verse I mentioned to you already. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We know that this verse is regarding the preaching the gospel, witnessing. What I want to talk to you about is your witnessing without witnessing. Amen. What you're like without opening your mouth. What people see of, because people are testing you out. Okay? And this whole thing about, taste and see. When we already spoke about when we see something, we've already sort of sorted it out. All right, and there's a common thing that about verse, everyone's well known that, God looks on the inside, you know, it's not on the outside, doesn't really matter. And they think that's actually not even talking about David, by the way. It's talking about David's older brother. And by the way, he wasn't bad on the outside, he was actually good on the outside. And Samuel came and he said, surely this is the Lord's anointed. This is the king, because he was big and he looked good on the outside. So often people will say, it doesn't matter what you dressed like. It doesn't matter what exercising and all these things. Obviously, the inside's more important, but the outside does matter. All right? Because that's what people see. Amen? So some folks get to that verse and they get it backwards a bit. All right? What do you taste like? What do you smell like? Amen? You come home and my wife's got coffee on. She doesn't make me coffee, by the way, illustration's sake. You come home and the coffee's on and you're like, that smells great. Coffee tastes better than it tastes. Coffee smells better than it tastes, doesn't it? Amen? That smells great. Or you have your next door neighbor's having a barbie and you can smell the onions. That smells awesome. It doesn't taste that great, but it smells good. Amen? So what is it that you smell like? Do people see you coming? And they're thinking, brother. A little boy said to mom, I want to go to heaven. Why, Johnny? Because I know my brother's not going to be there. That's pretty sad. He's not going to be there. I'm sure he's a bad character. He's not going to be, I want to go there. I want to be where he's not. And we ought not to be that way. We ought to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. One more thing you want to think about. You mentioned we eat with our eyes. We talked a little bit about taste. And so the one thing you want to think about is you might have a spiritual cold. Now, how those things taste like when you've got a cold? It's a little bit bland, doesn't it? Not quite so sweet. How do things taste like when you're reading the Word of God? Is it sweet? Is it, wow, are you with a psalmist? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen? Are you rejoicing in that? Is there a joy? Is there an excitement? Is there a reality of Christ in you? Taste. The excitement of experience. The experience of walking with God, and we mentioned David, and David had that, and the man that they were shaking in their boots, and David came to the thing. He was obedient to his dad, brought some cheese and some bread, and he was coming down, and his older brother said to him, I know your naughtiness and what you're doing here. And the other man who was shaking said, you know, the man that takes down that Goliath, you know, the king's going to give him, you know, he'll become tax-free, and surely he'll get the king's daughter as well. We're thinking about physical, here and now, we're thinking about spiritual things. We're thinking about here and now. What can I get about this situation? But David said, is there not a cause? Those people around you, where you're working with, and the first folks that you're there, you're not just there to get a pay packet, you're there because there's a cause. The reason why you're here today because there is a cause. And the cause is the soul of man. And the cause is to glorify your maker. God made you, God loves you, God wants to bless you, but that blessing and that happiness and that excitement comes when you're in the right place at the right time with the right attitude, doing the right things in the right way. That's a lot of right things. Amen. And sometimes we can have a wrong attitude. Sometimes we can be doing the right things for the wrong reason. Okay? You need to know these little simple principles and apply them. The psalmist had an excitement. Sorry, too far forward. An experience. The experience of knowing God. And that's what it's like, you know. And often they say word of mouth is the best advertising. All right. And how do you know what's a good restaurant? Ever been to a bad restaurant? You know, you go to I was going to say McDonald's. It's not really classified as a restaurant. Amen. Or you go to the Chinese place. We got a really good Chinese place where we live. It's awesome. The guy is really good. I can't speak English very well. I'm trying to talk to him all the time. But it's really good. How do folks know about it? Because of word of mouth. If someone's gone there, they've experienced it. They've experienced it and they've passed that on. Okay, what I'm trying to say is that can you sell what you're experiencing? Does anyone want to buy what you've got to sell? Does anyone want what you've got? Does anyone want your Jesus? Are you excited about Jesus? Do you have something to sell? But the psalmist said, Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The psalmist was excited. You know why? I'll give you a little secret. He spent a lot of time, if you read the psalm, meditating on the word of God. If you think of your mind, it's not about this message, but if you think of your mind as a garden, what you sow, you're going to reap. If you're sowing things in your mind and you'll reap what you sow, and the question I want to ask you is, what is it you're sowing? Are you sowing joy, happiness, love, and you know, seeing as you walk in the light? The Bible says that as we walk in His light, we will see the light. Or are you in depression, sad, gloomy? I don't mean being fake. Amen. I'm over fake. I don't like fake very much. All right, it's not my thing. If I'm not feeling so happy, I'll let you know. I'm not saying you got to be, you know, happy all the time. You know what I mean? We sing at kids' club. I'm happy all the time in club. But I'm saying is that we ought to have a joy. A joy goes beyond happy all the time. In the midst of trials and tribulation, we ought to have His joy. We ought to be like the psalmist and say, taste and see. We ought to be able to say to our neighbors, take my Jesus, He's real to me. I've experienced Him. When I was in the valley, He was with me. When I faced the bear, I was there with a bear, and He took my little lamb, and I knew Him by name, by the way, and when I took the bear out, He was with me. And I was there, and the lion came, and I took the lion out. Why did He have so great faith? Because He could say, taste and see. We've mentioned the O of experience. Now I want to talk to you about the O of excitement. We've already mentioned that a bit already. Okay? The O of excitement. We had a pastor friend over for dinner. And my wife, we were at his place, and he gave us his cheesecake. And it was quite horrible, by the way. And it was a no-frills cheesecake. And he was going, how awesome this cheesecake was. And I was like, brother, this is horrible. I can barely eat this thing. And then he came to my house. And I went to a place where we usually go in Sydney when I went back there. And went to this particular shop where I knew. And I bought him a double-baked American cheesecake. The real deal. All right, the real deal. And I gave him some, and he took his first bite, and he went, his eyes opened up, and he goes, now this is what cheesecake should taste like. Amen? And we've got cheap cheesecake. And we're walking around thinking it's awesome. Oh, this is awesome cheesecake. You haven't experienced, have you experienced a good cheesecake? I'm not talking about cheesecake, amen. Are you with me? All right, we don't want the cheap stuff. And sometimes we settle for cheap stuff. We want the experience and we want the excitement. We want the real deal. We want to be 100%. I don't know. Who remember the catch slogan, Chichik Broom Girl? You remember that girl? I don't know if you guys, a few years back, there was a girl that was out late and there was a gunfight in Sydney, and she came out on the news and she gave a whole story what happened. And this bro came out, the way she said it was just, she gave him a whole story, but the whole story was fake. It wasn't true. The next day, she came out and told the whole news, and this went around the whole world. It wasn't true. It wasn't true at all. I'm not saying we ought to have an excitement and an outgoing personality. That's not true. What I'm talking about is the real deal. Knowing God, being excited about God, knowing Him personally, because that's when people will taste and they will say, I see that your God is real. Your God is real. And people are looking for that. We mentioned the O of the excitement of experiencing it. The excitement of, and let's go on, and we see the O of excitement, and the O, as you said, of excellent. Excellent. Did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is excellent? He's not only good, but he's the best. He's God Almighty. To be enjoyed, to love, and that He cares for you. Sir Isaac Newton, a scientist, said that he can spend hours looking in the telescope at the stars and all these things, but he said that I have seen more of heaven on my knees. I've experienced more of heaven on my knees. It is something which cannot be explained, the experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. He makes foolish men wise. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. And the word blessed means to be happy. Happy is the man that trusteth in Him. As I've said that concerning the seeing, the taste and the seeing, it all works together. And the smelling, it all works together. All right, turn with me to Psalm 36, verse 7 to 9. Sorry. So Psalm 36, verse 7, 8 and 9. Did you know that the goodness of God leads us to repentance? You know that God loves us so much that when we get to know His love for us, it leads us to wanting to please Him. You know, and one of the things with my kids is that I endeavor to let them know my care and you know, with them and how much I love them, because that's what's going to draw them back, you know, and draw them to the understanding, to walk. You know, because if they want to please Dad, it's a thing. It's what you desire, not I have to do it. I want to do it. Anyway, Psalm 36, verse 7 to 9 says, "How excellent is Thy loving kindness, O God! How excellent is Thy loving kindness." God loves us so much. You know, he dotes on you. He provides for you. He thinks about you. The Bible says that, not that your hair are numbered. The Bible says that every single hair on your head, so for some of us, it's, you know, going easier than others, amen? But the Bible says every single hair is numbered. When you wake up, the number 2,462 hair is underneath the pillow. God knows. Amen? And God knows. So God knows all our thinking, and that's one of the things God says, why are you so worried about you know, what you're going to eat, where you're going to sleep, where you're going to work? I'll provide all that for you. God's going to give you all the things you need. The heathens worry about these things. It shouldn't be with you. Don't worry about it. Just learn focusing on God. He loves you and He cares for you. Oh God, therefore the children of man shall put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied. Wow. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. They shall make them drink out of the rivers of pleasure. Does that sound like a nasty God to you? And often you're speaking to a brother that's not walking in that light, and he will see things totally different to where you see things. You can be encouraged in the same situation and somebody else is downtrodden in the same situation because you see the light. So, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, remind you of a prophet that had an apprentice, and he said, the goose is cooked. No, he didn't say that. What did he say? He said, alas, Master, what are we going to do? We're surrounded. It's gone. He said, Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes. Smell, taste. Is your eyes open? Do you see? Oh, taste and see. See the Lord. He's gracious. He's good. Jesus is all to me, as the hymn says. John, let's turn to John, please. John chapter 6, verse 53. What does the Lord Jesus taste like? It's a good question. John chapter 6, verse 53 says, and the Lord, He is speaking, and Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth the flesh and drinketh the blood have eternal life. So obviously He's not talking about physical here, He's talking about eternal things, spiritual things. I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Where are you dwelling? Well, I like to say is, what are you dwelling on? Okay, that's an interesting little point there. But the reality is, when we're partaking of Christ, He becomes all to us and we become part of Him. What does the Lord Jesus Christ taste like? If you remind of the manna that came down from above, okay, and the manna in Exodus 16, verse 31, it was like coriander seed, white, tasted of like wafer made with honey. So what's that mean? Well, manna, which is the bread which Christ is talking about, He is the bread of life. He's the, that came off down, and He's saying to the people, the manna it was like, tastes like honey, and it was like wafer, it was crispy. Okay? So the Lord Jesus Christ is light and easy to the taste, all right? And He is good. He was a source of life. It kept them alive. Okay? By the way, the manna, they gathered 3.6 liters a day per person. That would last them for day, and every day they would go morning, they would gather, and he would keep, and by the way, it would last for 24 hours. What would happen after that? Worms. So tasting Jesus is a regular daily thing. But the good news is on the Sabbath day, it just happens that it would last 2 days. God's in control. On the Sabbath day, it would last longer. The Lord Jesus Christ, we need to fellowship and we need to partake of him. Okay? And the manna was tasted like honey. The Lord Jesus is sweet. He's like wafer. He's white and easy to be enjoyed. Can you see a picture here of what Christ is like? Are you hungry for the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, what are you hungry for? But pastor, I've got to work hard to get a house. I've got to provide for my home. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. That is all true. But think of eternity as well. Did you know that a dead man, this is very, very spiritual and deep stuff here, a dead man is not hungry. Amen? Someone who's dead, lying on the ground, is not hungry. And if you could be here, you could be thinking, I don't really understand what this black guy is going on about. I know he's excited about something. It's to do with Jesus. It's about tasting. All right? I don't get it all. I don't understand it. Well, maybe you haven't tasted the Lord Jesus Christ. You haven't asked him to come into your heart. You haven't said, hey, if you're really God and you're really the Son of God and you really came here, you, and as we celebrate, we're coming towards Christmas, we understand that the gift of God that God gave, John 3:16, you know, that God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but shall have everlasting life. You need to come and come into the Lord and taste and see that he truly is good and believe that he is who he said he is. He loves you. He made you. And if you reject him, there will be no other way to get to heaven. You will have to pay for your own sin. And the punishment of sin is death. And death is Revelation talks about death being cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, talking about a place of eternal judgment for eternity, that we go there because we rejected of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's really important that we come to that first taste and we see that the Lord truly is good. I've mentioned about the tasting, and did you know that your nose can smell up to 10,000 different smells? Well, that's pretty interesting. Did you know that as well, that some of the food that you think you smell, you're not really smelling it? However, it's all to do with memory, and like they say that steak, for example, has a very small flavouring. It's all to do with the smokiness and so forth, and other things of that sort of nature. God's made us in a way that we can enjoy life. Wouldn't it be sad if we were cows?
Yes.
Amen? You come to your bag, grass. God made us for a purpose. For us, the key factor is that for him to enjoy us. And we're in our right place, and we're doing what we ought to be doing, and we're walking in fellowship. You think of Adam. Adam sinned. He was tempted by the devil. Adam was hiding in the bush. And the Lord God, in the cool of day, walked down the garden path and he said, Adam! Adam, where are you? Did he lose Adam? I misplaced Adam. Where is he? No. Adam wasn't where he was supposed to be. I bet you that it was the path which they trod every afternoon. I bet you it was a path where they enjoyed the sweet fellowship, where Adam said, oh Lord, it's so wonderful to walk with thee. I enjoy knowing who you are and how awesome, how great you are. Adam wasn't there. And did you know that the world we live in is just like Adam, hiding down there, and they're trying their best to do what they, with what they know. The Bible says that each one has gone his own way. You know, and the Bible says as well concerning that they're trying their hardest. As Adam was knitting, you know, little garments with fig leaves, and they're trying their best to cover themselves, but God had a better plan. God sacrificed an animal and clothed him. Okay? And we need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The tasting as well is, and the smelling and all that, is to help us to be discerning what is right and wrong. When we taste something foul, you know, and we eat something wrong, we often, you know, we have this, we just, you want to throw up. Amen? And one, my thing is like, you know, I can never really tell if the milk's off or not. No, you smell it. Well, just, is it okay? You can't hard to tell if the milk's off or not. And why? Because we're smelling it. If it smells a bit strong, and we know that it's wrong. God designed us in a way that what we take in is to protect ourselves, who gives us discernment. Are you being discerning with what you take on board? Also, we talk about the discernment, we talk about the desire. Are you desiring the sincere milk of the word? The discernment is as well to do with danger. All right, because if you swallow something which is really bad for you and it's kind of bitter and you take it on board, you can get really sick. I won't ask before if you guys ever had food poisoning. It's pretty nasty, apparently. People have told me it's pretty bad. My encouragement to you is that you would taste and see that the Lord is good, for he is excellent. If you experience him, you will say, truly say, oh, taste and see. Let's pray. Let's